Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And we head to Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we're joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com for this third hour of today's show. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. So much to unpack with the offensive staff for Tennessee football being introduced earlier this week. The defensive staff starting to really take shape. But, Brent, before we get to that, I know you're a proud papa. What about Eli Hubbs making it to state in wrestling?
That was fun. Last weekend at Elizabethan region championships up there, and he was fortunate enough to finish second in the region up there in his weight class, and we'll head to the state tournament next week. And I tell you what, there's a lot of good wrestling going on in East Tennessee, and it's not always been that way, but over the last 10-12 years it's really taken off. And it doesn't matter whether you're in region A or double A, or you're in the private sector or in the triple A deal, there's just a lot of good wrestlers and East Tennessee, and it's going to be fun to watch everybody in East Tennessee compete at the state level coming up next week. Supposed to be tonight or this week, but because of the weather across the state, they pushed it back to next week. So should be fun to see next weekend or next week in Chattanooga. And pretty proud dad. Eli's had a really good year in his second year wrestling. I've said this on the air before. It's a sport I knew absolutely nothing about. It's a sport I still don't know nearly enough about. But it's a sport that's really intense and is a really good match for my son, and I think is really good for a lot of kids out there who are participating in it. It's a really good sport.
Well, again, congratulations to him for the hard work and all that he's invested in terms of time, effort, and energy into make this happen. So wish him the very best next week. It had to be really something to get the chance to talk with Tennessee's new offensive staffers. What did you think in terms of all of them being made available earlier this week?
Well, I thought it was a smart move by Josh Heupel and Tennessee's PR department and Tom Sikoviak, Bill Martin, those guys doing that. I think Tennessee needs as much positive publicity as they can get from a relevancy standpoint. And quite frankly, the most relevant thing about Tennessee up until then had been more about who had turned the job down to be the defensive coordinator than it had been anything else. And now you got your defensive coordinator in place and you had all your offensive staff. And I think it's a smart move to introduce them to the fans and let the fans see and hear from them and get an idea and a thought about, who these guys are and what they're about. And I think my biggest takeaway was just kind of synergy is the right word. It's just very clear that everybody's in the same, got kind of the same voice about this offense. There's not a lot of, even though there's a couple of new members that haven't been at Central Florida with Josh Heupel, they clearly sounded like and felt like they were on the same page. And you certainly believe that some of those guys can finish the other guy's sentence when it comes to talking about this offense, because they've obviously spent a lot of time together.
What stood out to you about what offensive coordinator tight end coach Alex Golish said, other than if the tight end's open, we'll throw to him?
Well, and also don't call this offense a spread. I'm still not sure what we're supposed to call it. But, I think the biggest thing, and this is not a negative in any way, it's my biggest curiosity, is they talk about this offense and how multiple it is and how they can, do a lot of different things formation-wise, get the ball in the playmaker's hands, and you give the quarterback all this freedom and all those things. And then at the same time, Jimmy, they talk about basically how almost simplistic it is to learn and how fast guys can learn it. And I'm always curious about that because, the previous coaching staff is no longer here, Jeremy Pruitt and the defensive guys, they all talk about how simple their defense was. Yet everybody who played in it and other people that know it, so that's the furthest thing from the truth. So how realistic is it to learn this offense as quickly as everybody on the offensive staff alluded to it being? I'm curious about that. That's not a negative, and I'm not suggesting those guys aren't being honest and those type of things, because when you look at it, everywhere Josh Heupel's jumped into, that offense has had immediate success. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to kind of why. One, it's been as successful as it's been wherever they've been at, and two, why is it that people can sort of learn and execute in it as quickly as they've been able to without maybe some of the learning curves and learning struggles and pains that you would expect with a new offense. So I'm really curious to see kind of how it all comes together in the spring on that side of the ball.
I asked the quarterbacks coach Joey Halsley to rank the traits that he likes in a quarterback from accuracy to mobility to intelligence, and he went intelligence, accuracy, mobility. What did you think of that order?
Well, I mean, I think that you know, if they're going to give the quarterback the freedom that they say that they're going to give them, then that quarterback's got to know what to do. He's got to be able to see it, feel it, read it, you know, all of those types of things so that they understand where to go. If they're not going to look at me at the line of scrimmage and basically tell the quarterback, okay, we're reading this coverage for you upstairs, and you're going to throw it to receiver X, okay, on this particular play because of the coverage that they're playing. If they're going to play up-tempo fast and they're going to let the quarterback run the show, then I do think the quarterback's got to be able to execute the show first and foremost. Because if you can't, then it doesn't matter what your other qualities can be. You're not going to be as productive as everybody expects this offense to be. And then I think accuracy is always, you know, high up there, but even more so than arm strength and all those things. You know, there are guys who can, if you're accurate and you know how to compensate for your arm strength, then you can be highly successful. And I think the best example Tennessee fans have had of that is Casey Clawson. And that's, you know how much I think of Casey. He just didn't have a great arm. I mean, he wasn't going to just rope it and throw a frozen rope to anybody. But he knew he was accurate, and he could compensate for the lack of arm strength with timing. I don't think you can compensate for a lack of accuracy. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that accuracy would be high up there. And then as for the third quote, third trait being mobility, I think Josh Heupel said on the day he was hired, you know, they've done it with a bunch of different type of quarterbacks, tall ones, short ones, slow ones, fast ones, highly mobile guys, marginally mobile guys, pro-style guys, non-pro-style guys. So, I mean, they clearly believe that they can adapt their system into whatever that guy's legs are capable of doing. If his legs are good, they would incorporate more quarterback runs. If they're not as good, then they wouldn't. And I'm curious to see what that looks like, Jimmy, because we saw in Butch Jones's system how much better that offense was with Josh Dobbs's legs and how ineffective it could be with a guy running a zone read who refused to hold the ball, refused to keep the ball, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you don't worry about the threat of the quarterback, is the zone read even a productive play? You know, if nobody believes the quarterback's going to keep the ball. So I'd be curious to see how they adapt to things and what their run game looks like if they have a non-mobile guy versus having a mobile guy at quarterback.
And then running backs coach Jerry Mack said that he's got some dynamic backs. He likes his running back room. However, Tennessee losing a four-star running back that I liked a lot, Cody Brown, a four-star from Georgia. What type of impact do you think it'll have losing Cody Brown from this class?
Well, I think you take Cody Brown, you take Eric Gray, you take Ty Chandler, and you're losing three guys. And one of them is the guy you had expectations for, and the other two guys are productive guys. So there's some adjustment there for sure. I'm curious to see what the running back's role is in this offense, exactly how they want to use them. I think the Evans kid, who's a junior college transfer, is an impact guy on any offense because I think he can catch the ball out of the backfield. We saw him be productive in junior college in the return game as well as being just a downhill runner. So I think he can do a variety of things. I certainly feel like Jalen Wright is a speedster that in open space can be a really good player. I like what Jabari Small did a year ago. Curious to see what he looks like. What do they do with deep back with? So, how they use them in this offense and what wrinkles does Coach Mack bring to the offense? And I thought that maybe be one of the more interesting quotes from the media session that we had was from Coach Golish, where he said when it came to the running back position, he wanted a guy who would call plays if he could get it. Because he wanted that extra set of eyes. He wanted those ideas. He wanted more than, just quote a really good recruiter there or something like that. He wanted somebody who was offering a lot more input. And what is, Coach Mack's input going to be in this offense? What kind of of traits is he going to bring to this offense? How does he tweak things? It's going to be interesting. I was really impressed. And when I looked at his resume and talked to people, Jimmy, there was just a lot of high praise for Jerry Mack. I talked to David Cutcliffe. He had nothing but unbelievably great things to say about Jerry Mack as a person and as a coach. You talk to other people. He's very highly regarded. So I wasn't surprised at how he presented himself in the media session. But when you're done, boy, you came away and said, man, that's a really impressive guy who you think is going to be able to recruit and is going to be an asset to that offensive staff that's obviously got a lot of chemistry and cohesion to it already. But some new ideas in there I think is going to be interesting for this offense, and we'll see what comes of it this spring and this fall. But really impressed with Coach Mack yesterday and talking to him.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of allquest.com. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. That's how you join Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
I'm your Huckleberry. That's just my game.
We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com, is appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. 656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Brent. 656-9900. Let's go to JJ, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Good afternoon.
Hey, Brent. I had a question for you. How do you anticipate our recruiting model changing, bringing in a whole new style of offense? Sounds like a whole new style of defense as well. As far as bringing in players and evaluating players, how do you see that going?
Well, I'll say this. I like what Josh Heupel has done in terms of assembling his recruiting department. I think it's got some Tennessee flair to it, which I think is important because I think that you got to know, kind of how to recruit to Tennessee a little bit. I think a lot of people who come in who aren't aware say, oh, okay, you go. And I think even Josh Heupel said this in his opening press conference, you're going to build a wall around the state. Well, nobody been able to build a wall around the state. I mean, when you look at Memphis, you can get to half the SEC faster from Memphis than you can get to Knoxville. So there's challenges in recruiting this state. I think that the key for Tennessee right out of the gate is I think they're going to have to be fantastic in their evaluations, because I don't think Tennessee is necessarily going to line up against Auburn and Alabama with a bunch of five stars and from around the country and come away and say, okay, all those guys are coming to Tennessee, because you've got sanctions against you. I think that everybody kind of wants to see what's Tennessee going to be, what's the NCAA punishment. You can't take visits all spring long, so nobody's going to get to come watch it. So the only hope in terms of showing a prospect what you're really going to be about is that you have a spring game and it happens to be on TV and you get some kids to watch it, because otherwise they're not going to know because they can't come see you. And then you can't go out and evaluate them. And so you're going to have to do a really good job with tape evaluation. So I think there's some early on challenges for Tennessee. There's no doubt that once you have some offensive success, I think receivers are going to want to play in this system, because it's so productive. I think a quarterback will like playing in this system as well. And then defensively, I'm not really sure what Tim Banks' style of defense is going to be. I know what Josh Heupel said he wants. That's aggressive, attacking-type defense. And it kind of falls under the same category of, are you 3-4, 4-3? And everybody says, well, you're multiple. That's kind of the standard answer to everything is that, yeah, you're going to be multiple. So what exactly this defense looks like under Tim Banks, I'm not real sure right now. So I don't know exactly what type of player they're going to be looking for. Is it going to be bigger guys? Is it going to be leaner guys who are more athletic because they're going to play more 4-3 stuff? They're going to be more 4-2-5 stuff, and they're going to be heavier in numbers and defensive backs. I'm not real sure. So I'd be curious to see what that looks like if we get a chance to see some stuff in spring.
Well, I took a little issue with something Eric Ainge said earlier today that possibly receivers may not want to come here if they're wanting to go on to the NFL in this system. Not just because they're not going to catch passes, because they are. They're going to get a lot of opportunities. He's talking about the route running. And I disagree with that. If you're a playmaker, these NFL guys, they're going to believe, oh, I could teach this guy how to run a curl route or a slant or an out, and not necessarily worry so much about their route running in college. Are they, can they go out and make a play for me or not? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, Eric knows offensive football better than I do, so I don't know what he knows about this offense to suggest they're not going to teach route running for the receivers. I don't know how you get open if you don't know how to run routes. So, but I didn't hear Eric say that, and I'll yield to Eric on whatever his knowledge of the offense is. I just think that I know this system plays fast. They want to play up tempo fast because they think that it helps them of a benefit. But I just, Jimmy, I don't see how you get open if you're not a good route runner. I don't know how our receiver is going to get the football if he can't run routes.
I didn't hear what Eric said either, but I do recall seeing there have been some receivers come out of, for example, Baylor, that said that it was very simplistic what they did, and they didn't actually learn how to be good route runners, that they either ran a go route or an out route, things like that in that system. But I don't know if Heupel's system mirrors Baylor. So I'm not sure if that's a good comparison, but I have heard the narrative that some receivers in a certain system are not taught how to be really good route runners. So maybe that's where Eric's coming from. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
I think Oklahoma probably put some guys in the NFL who played receiver and
Hollywood
different guys out there. I mean, you know, we'll see.
CD
I
Lamb.
Mean, you know, I think right now that everybody's very curious about it. And everybody wants to see what it looks like, and I want to see what it looks like and kind of determine some things from there after I see it with my own eyes, because I don't think you can do it at Tennessee the exact way you did it at Central Florida, because you're going against different athletes on defense. You're going against better competition on defense. So I think you have to adjust. I know Josh Heupel was at Missouri, and they had success there, and I know he's been, you know, at Oklahoma, but I think that you have to adjust a little bit to what he was doing at Central Florida, because you have to compensate and adjust to the level of competition you're playing at in the SEC, because I think it's different. And you know, I thought Golish talked about, you know, playing complementary football yesterday, which one of the things you heard during the defensive coordinator search was that guys didn't want to come to Tennessee, or maybe they were leery of the job at Tennessee because they hung the defense out to dry all the time. Mm-hmm. But Golish was talking about playing some, you know, complementary football. Well, what does complementary football look like in an up-tempo, fast-paced offense? I don't know. It's just another on my checklist of, hey, what does this look like that's growing by the day, you know, of what it's going to look like when we get a chance to see it.
Let's go next to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Brent, talk about our new coordinator from Penn State. What do you think about him?
Well, I mean, a guy who's got a ton of coaching experience, not a ton of defensive coordinator experience, at least recently, in terms of calling his own defense. So what does it look like? What does he want to do defensively? And then what does his staff look like? Everybody you talk to, guys who played for him, guys who have coached under him, guys who have coached with him, all say that Tim Banks is one of just a fantastic human being and a good football coach. How does that translate into being a good coordinator? And I'm not deflecting. I'm not saying good or bad. I said this on, I think, a couple of our podcasts. I said it in our chat. You know, I've seen guys who had the best resume in the world come and be a coordinator, and it didn't go very well.
Right.
Okay. And I've seen guys who everybody scoffed at as a coordinator because the resume wasn't as sexy or whatever, and the guy's gone on and done really good things. I thought the night before Tennessee played UCLA in 2000, and I guess it was 2008, I thought that offense was going to have a big day that next day, because I really liked what Dave Clawson was doing offensively, what he talked about doing offensively. it didn't work. Does that mean he's a bad football coach? No, it just didn't work here, because obviously he's gone on and been highly successful. Mike DeBoard comes here, and he's the swimming director, right? I mean, everybody's scoffing at who Mike DeBoard is and what's kind of hire is this hire. And the guy was as productive as any offensive coordinator Tennessee's probably had. I mean, they put up all kinds of yards and points. Then you had to spend $1 million on Bob Shoup, and it didn't work at Tennessee for whatever reason. So, again, I think everybody's in a little bit of a wait-and-see approach before somebody's throwing a big hot take out there on this guy's going to be great or this guy's going to be bad or this, that, or the other. I know this. Tim Banks is inheriting a difficult situation because I think this defense lacks depth. I think it lacks some talent that it needs in some critical areas, and I think there's going to be some growing pains because they're not going to have all the Jimmys and Joes they need in this league on a week-in, week-out basis.
Right. Okay. Well, that coach you was talking about earlier that Coach Cutler spoke highly on, and that's the new running back coach, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay then. Thanks a lot, guys.
Sure do appreciate it, Steve. Thank you. We'll get a break. We've got more with Brent Hubbs coming up. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, 656-9900, 656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is the home of accurate, factual sports information. Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. It's Mike who joins us next. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Jimmy, John, Brent, good to be with you. Always good to be with you from Tullahoma here. I'm going to put you guys out on the limb here, I guess especially Brent. I'm going to ask for Brent. Given the fact we've heard from all the offensive people, the specialists, the coordinator, the head coach, predict today our starting quarterback, our starting running back, and our starting wide receiver, our key wide receiver that we're going to depend on next year. Would you take a shot at those three? And number four, what happened to the Georgia running back? Did he cool on us or did we cool on him?
Cody Brown decided he did not want to play for this coaching staff and asked out of his letter of intent and was given a release from his letter of intent. That became a really peculiar recruitment right at the end. He did not get scholarship papers to sign on the early signing day till late the night before. It felt like Tennessee might even be toying with delaying letting him sign back in December. So I don't know if that just made him a little bit queasy about Tennessee, even though he went ahead and signed, or if he just felt like this system wasn't going to be right for him. But he wanted out. He wanted out before Josh Heupel was hired. So that's not a big surprise there. In terms of the starters, I'm going to say, because everybody's getting a fresh start, I'm going to say the Evans kid at running back, who's the JUCO. I think Jalen Hyatt will thrive in this offense. I think he'll be successful in this offense as a wide receiver. I think Valus Jones will be able to take the top off and get vertical in this offense. Those will be kind of my top two go-to guys. One, they're a little bit proven, and two, I think they have the athletic ability to do that. As for the quarterback spot, I really don't know, and I know that's going to sound like a cop-out, but you know, how does this offense fit for Harrison Bailey? I think for Harrison Bailey to win the job, he's got to throw the deep ball better than we saw him throw it as a freshman. He is accurate. I think he's a smart guy. He managed the offense well. But I think he's going to have to throw the deep ball better to make this offense go the way that Heupel expects it to go and wants it to go. I think Brian Maurer is a really interesting story in this offense. Does he mature? Does he handle himself better? He's a guy that was recruited heavily by Central Florida, by this coaching staff that you've heard from. That's a guy they recruited. So where is he with them? Is this a new start for him? Does this system fit him better? Same, you know, what does Caden Salter look like? And what does Hendon Hooker look like? I think ultimately out of that group, who throws the ball the best, you know, is going to be the guy who ends up being the quarterback, because I think all of them are smart enough that they're going to be able to pick it up and go with it. So who can execute it the best ends up being the guy. So I'm much more confident on the receiver and running back question. No confidence at all on where they're going to go with the quarterback right now.
Thank you, Brad. Gentlemen, thank you. Love your show.
Sure do appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. Let's go back to the phones. Okay, Jimmy, you were going to say?
I was going to say, I agree with Brent on running back and receivers. And because he said this, and I think this, and if I had to venture guess, I'd say I think it's going to be Bailey because, as Brent said, he's accurate and he's smart. And I think that I think those two things will help him with this system based on what the quarterback's coach said. Mobility. Bailey would have the least mobility of the group. So now, based on what Halsley said, I'm going to give the slight edge to Bailey.
Let's go next to Fred. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys. Love your show every night or every evening. Here's what I want to say. I worked for a retail establishment here in the late 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And we sold millions of dollars of product that was manufactured in North Alabama. So they would bring these sales reps up here. I'm talking about the big dogs would come up here and line us and dine us, and take us out to play golf, and they'd pay for every damn thing. I mean, you know, all morning, all afternoon, all damn evening. You could have anything you wanted. And this was in sort of the late 90s, but there was a quarterback that played at Alabama in the early 90s named Hollingsworth.
Gary Hollingsworth.
Yep. And oddly enough, I went to school with a guy named Gary Hollingsworth. That was in South Knoxville. It wasn't Alabama. So him and his big boss came up here and they whined and dined the hell out of us. And for several days. And I'm just telling you that Alabama takes care of its players before, during, and after. This guy, he didn't win any damn national championship or anything. He was a pretty decent quarterback.
The SEC player of the year, 89.
Well, yeah, he was very good. But what I'm saying is he landed a job that I know for a fact. His first job landed him $250,000 because of the territory he had, which included East Tennessee and certainly Knoxville. But this guy landed a hell of a damn job. So here's my question, or what sort of befuddles me to an nth degree. Why in the hell these great players are getting paid? They've been getting paid for damn years, directly or indirectly. Why does Tennessee, and you got to, you know, our head coach was from Alabama. He knows this shit's going on. It's been going on.
That's enough of that.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Goodness
now.
Gracious.
Yeah.
All right, Fred.
Have a good day, Fred.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess what he's saying is everybody cheats. Is that where he's going with that?
I think that's where we were headed.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, there are rules. Don't get caught breaking them.
Alabama was caught, right?
Albert
yes.
Means, Antonio
sure enough.
Langham.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, so it's. I mean, look. It's. I mean, it's not like everybody. It's not like everybody. There's one school in this conference that is just blatant doing whatever and getting away with it or whatever. I mean, Auburn's been caught multiple times. I mean, it, you know, it's just the way it is. I mean, and obviously Tennessee and the previous staff committed a ton, you know, apparently a ton of transgressions. We'll see what they look like whenever the documents get released. But that's where it's at. So.
We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to this visit with Brent Hubbs. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. To get a question or comment in, under the wire, 656-9900, 656-9900 puts you on 99.1, the sports animal.
Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio WNML to keep up with breaking sports news. Now, back to Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk, a final segment with Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. And before we get right back to the phones, Brent, I know that you've got it all going on, covering the football staff as well as the as hires continue to get made on the defensive side. Rob Lewis always does a great job with hoops. But Ryan Shumpert along for season three with you guys for Tennessee baseball, right?
Yep, and he's had a couple stories the last couple of days. Got a really good preview on the pitching staff today. We'll preview the hitters and the rest of the roster tomorrow, as obviously this program gets ready to get started tomorrow afternoon. And should be an exciting season with this team. A lot of hope, a lot of promise with this team. And curious to see how they hit it out of the gates, and curious to see how they pitch it with a lot of talent, but some unproven arms on this roster. So Ryan has done a great job for us the last couple of years. He'll continue to do that for us throughout the spring.
Let's get a call from Ron. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ron.
Hello, John, Jimmy, Brent. How y'all doing this evening?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, surviving this weather. Brent, congratulations to your son. I got a good friend that has two daughters that are on the Gibbs team over there. And he's mentioned your son a few times to me, and congratulations to him.
Thank you, sir.
My question is, y'all just got through talking about the offense, the running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers. Austin Pope went in the portal. Then changed his mind. He said, I want to stay at Tennessee. I want to be a receiving tight end, not just a blocking tight end, but a receiving tight end. And also the offensive line. We've lost Morris. We've lost Johnson. Trey Smith is heading off to the NFL. I wish him all the best. Kennedy, he's gone. So, really, we're down to the two Mazes and Wright. So, this high-powered offense, we're going to need a good, strong offensive line. Gentlemen, where do we stand at?
That's a great question, because you're right. You can talk about quarterback play, and you can talk about great running back or talented running backs and receivers. If you can't keep the quarterback upright, then as somebody told me a long time ago, a good offensive line can help out a running back. A great running back can help out an offensive line, but a quarterback's got to have help to stay upright. So, I think the biggest question with this offensive line is that offensive tackle. Can Kayron Calvert stay healthy? Who do they play at left tackle? Is Cade Mays going to play left tackle? Can Darnell Wright handle it at right tackle? One of the things that's going to be interesting with this offensive line for me, Jimmy and John, is it's not just about their physicality. They're going to have to change what kind of shape they're in because of the fast pace they want to play. So Darnell Wright has to have a great offseason to get himself in better physical shape to be able to play in this up-tempo offense. And then obviously they've got to help find help at the tackle position. Is that an R.J. Perry? Can they get one of these young guys who we've not seen? Can they emerge as a tackle body? That's my biggest concern, the offensive line. I think they can find guard play, and I think they can put together a pretty good group of guards and interior linemen. But can they find any depth at the offensive tackle position? Do they look for somebody in the transfer portal? Is there a JUCO guy out there late in the process? The guy that they signed late who's a JUCO player, could he come in and help you right away? I think to play in this system, though, the first thing you have to do is you're going to have to be in really good shape, and that's going to be a challenge for this offensive line starting right now, going all the way through spring practice in this summer.
Ron, we sure do appreciate it. And, Brent, feel free to highlight anything else that's going on at BallQuest.com these days.
Well, let me say this quickly about Austin Pope, because I know we're about out of time. His ability to flex out and do some things in the passing game is going to depend on how that offensive line can protect. Do they have to keep him in as a blocker to help them pass protect, or can they handle some stuff with a five-man front and actually flex him out more in the passing game? So Austin Pope needs that offensive line, particularly those tackles, to come on and help them so that he can flex out and be more versatile if he's healthy enough. As for coverage, we've got the War Room tomorrow. We've got our mailbag podcast up now. We'll have more recruiting stuff in the War Room in the morning. Certainly continuing to track this coaching staff as it continues to be assembled. Hoops coming up as well. And as I mentioned, we'll continue with our baseball preview and get you ready for first pitch of this baseball season.
Brent, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Again, good luck to Eli next week, as well as all area wrestlers that are competing. But thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You as well. That's Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens.